Evening, everyone. Welcome. We all enjoyed the drive. But not every week is Chinese New Year, so. Last week I was sharing about restoration. I think one of the things that you look at the Bible, you understand that God's understanding of restoration is much bigger than just me getting back what we lost or what we want. It's the restoration of His worship, of His glory. And when those things are restored, then everything else falls in place. And I think one of the points of the sermons is, you know, time, because we are in danger of having a very narrow understanding of what God is saying and God, what God wants to do. And yes, it is personal, but it moves beyond me, it moves around us, it moves around cities, of nations, of God's people. And we have to capture all of that, and it culminates in the restoration of His, and of all things under His reign, His rule, at the feet of Jesus. So, I mean, personally also, it always, makes things clearer to me when we put things in balance, and begin to understand what the Bible is saying in terms of the scope it's speaking about God's greatness and so forth. And today I just want to share about building, okay? And this is a well-known verse in Psalm 127. And in the same idea, so it's Psalm 127, okay? So it says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for He gives to His beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks to his enemies in the king. Okay. So I just look at the first part. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it, they will wait. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. In vain, we rise up early and go late to rest in the period of anxious toil. He gives you his beloved sleep. When you think about these verses, I think one activity that we all do is we build all kinds of things like our careers, our homes, our assets, our reputation, and so forth. So there are two activities that are highlighted here. One is building. And then the other one is conserving, watching over it, making sure that it's there. And yes, you know, what we build, what we like to conserve, like protect and keep. And if you look at history, building is such an important thing simply because, it's through the buildings, legacies conserved, empire is conserved, people remember the greatness and the achievements of so forth. And if you look at us, in activities, as we are constantly doing this, the question raised here, is it us building or is it God building? So there's different ways of looking at that. One issue is if God is doing it, what do we do? We are doing it what God does. So it's understanding the geology, who actually is doing the work, us or God. So in different seasons of life, we tend to lean towards the point where we think we are doing everything, what God is doing. part kind of shows a, you know, in life that is a marriage of those ideas, especially in having children, you know. So yes, we understand, you know, how it works, but it's God who blesses and God who creates life, right? And that's the whole thing, you know. But if you want to understand it properly, actually everything is from God. He does the bulk of it. And that's the perspective you need to start from. Okay, so it's always suffering grace that you know, that goes ahead. And then because of God's grace and God's work, you know, we have been given an opportunity to bear our responsibility, you know, and be agents and co-workers with Him in His work. And that is the thing that God has given us. So when you see it that way, as you know, God is doing all these things, and He has taken us, you know, to assign us the work and called us to be part of what He's doing. And that's a great honor and privilege. But many times we get a little bit muddled up and we forget actually what God is building and what we are building and whether those two are synonymous or not. Are we building the same thing or not, right? And you know, being in the church, we are a considerable long time. So recently also I was having a conversation with somebody, and they were studying some of the challenging experiences that they had. So there was this specific Christian, a social worker, and after a long time talking with her mother finally said, okay, I'll come to you, with you for a revival meeting. So she was so excited, so she took the mother and called it a revival meeting. And then the speaker, the pastor came to pray. So he stood before her and asked, do you want me to pray for you? And she says, yes. And then he says, but I won't pray for you until you accept Jesus Christ. Okay. And she got so offended and she said, I'll never step foot in the church again. Now, if you look at, that speaker or pastor's actions, so one question would be what he thinks he's building, and then there will be the what he's actually building. So I'm pretty sure in his mind he's very clear, he's building the church and the kingdom of God and growing the numbers and saving souls, like, you know. But what he actually doing is driving people away from God building distrust and because of arm twisting and messing around with people who are desperate, who have needs, like, you know, and using their need to force people into decisions. So, this is an exaggerated example, but it's quite easy to see between the two. But when you look at our own lives, it's nice and very thinly, you know. It's so veiled that sometimes we also don't know. We just let it pass, because some of our intentions leans towards more what we want rather than what God wants. Okay, and I think, you know, it's very clear, because I mean there's one thing that God has had to do in my life, and I still I have to, you know, bring before God, because we are constantly building things for our benefit, you know. All right, and that is not the same thing as building, you know, allowing God to build something for His glory and His purpose. And sometimes, like I said, you make the mistake, we are thinking, I'm doing this, I'm running ministries, I'm doing projects, I'm saving, I'm putting up a church building, or whatever it is, and you say, you're doing all this for the kingdom of God. There can be so many other reasons, that can sabotage all these things. One is to prove that you are the best pastor, one to prove the other people you have a bigger church, one to prove people that you're a better preacher, one to prove people that, you know, you are this popular guy, and all these kind of things to get accepted. So there's all these things you can be building, right? Alright? You know, and all these things can be actually the forces that is pushing the building project right now. But you can easily say, oh, I'm preaching a good sermon for the glory of God, right? Then when you are wondering how many people impress, like how many people think you're a good preacher, then you want to what, you know, what is this building project all about? Because your real security is the stamp of approval, like, you know, and not the building, you know, faithfulness and you know, discipling people through the word of God. Like, okay, so you have that kind of issue that helps life. So I can go on and on, the many subcategories that you know, come up like, and in terms of careers, in terms of, you know, what we purchase, you know, what we wear, what we use, and so forth. So generally, I mean, it is quite clear, like, a watch can be used to tell time, you know, and a watch can be used to tell others how successful you are. Car can do that, can take you from A to B, or can make a statement of power and success and so forth. But, you know, and you find, you know, advertisements and people and everything play with you, both, I mean, play with this language, like, so something to hint at what you are building in life. Right? And so the term says, you know, if God does not build, we build in vain, you know. But and as you look at it, it's actually we build out of vanity, out of our own pride and our you know, our need for approval and build our own credentials. We build out of that, out of our need for greatness and acceptance. And God is saying, you know, whenever you're not clear about this, you know, you build in vain. Right. And now, there is a, I think we live in times, you know, even if you look at Christians and churches and God's people, sadly there's a lot of these things going on right now. And I think I've shared with you before, I think one of the hardest statements is can build a church without God. And it will not be the church God wants, but it will be a big successful ministry. And I remember this story also, you know, I mean, one of the illustrations that stuck to my mind when I read it. It's a story of a pastor from China, a persecuted church in China, getting an opportunity to go to America and visit all the big churches. So at the end of his tour, then he asked him, what do you think about the American church? And he told them, it's kind of amazing what you all have achieved without God. Okay, so there is the praise and then the stigma and the back of it, what has happened, you know. That's the thing, like, whatever it is, there is that reality, you know, that always wants us, that the people around us tells us, like, you know, you have to build it. You have to build it. Then God will bless you, or whatever it is, you know. And you have to build the way we build it. You have to build your success, you have to build your reputation, you have to build this, you have to build that, you know. Then you will be secure. Then you make sure you keep it right. Secure this things, right? So all this is the kind of things that it is hard, right? We have to be very careful, right? And if you look at the Bible, one of the building projects that, you know, God used to speak to us is in Genesis chapter 11, verse 1 to 9, right? It's the Tower of Babel, right? Okay. So just read that to you. Now the whole earth had one language, the same words, and And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly, and had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they have one language, and this is one beginning of what they will do. And nothing they purpose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from there over to the face of all the earth, and they left off the building the city. Therefore it's called Babel, okay? Because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. Okay? So you find what's interesting, actually God wanted them to, you know, spread and grow, and when they came together, what was very important for them to build a name for themselves and to build a city that reaches the heavens. And in that time is a place where they can go and meet God, right? See God. And if you do a little, the kind of buildings that reached to the heavens were the ziggurats that were built by the Babylon religion, right? And all this kind of fits that description, right? And to build that kind of building that allows them to reach the gods and worship those gods, right? And so you can see, like, when Nebuchadnezzar, built a lot of buildings and a lot of huge statues and all this kind of things, signify that. So it's a form of idolatry, it's a form of pride, it's a form of greatness. I mean, some Bible commentators, say that this is one of the key rebellion in of humanity apart from Adam and Eve, right? There are three things happen. First, Adam and Eve, and then the sons of God coming down, and the world coming upside down, and then God sending the flood. Then after the flood, this happens, again, all the people come together and rebel against God. And the significance of this rebellion is like this, because what's interesting, God divided them, sent them all to different places as different nations. Okay, Deuteronomy says about this land. Alright? Okay. And so they send them to different nations, and then right after that, God builds a nation for himself. Okay? So he disperses all the nations, then he starts his building Abraham's, and Sarah, and building the nation of Israel as to be a nation of priests, and that culminates in Jesus Christ. So he disbands this, and then all the nations finally come together at the Pentecost. No time to go in there, but okay, that's the idea. But the point is this, that kind of rebellion is actually what we are drawn into. People like to build is they want to show their independence and how great they are and how successful they are and how powerful they are. So I challenge you when you talk to people. Even some of our church member was telling someone who should be came in. You have very successful businessman selling insurance and all that comes and talks to me. Today I'm here, I can afford all this because I've learned this. You can see a pastor preaching, I've built this and I'm here. Boasting a lot, building projects. So we have to be very careful what we are building for and what we are building on. And that's the question, the thing that Jesus Christ says, like, when he speaks about building, he says, you know, whether you build upon the rock or you build upon sand. Because what determines and brings clarity to our building project is the foundations, the substance in which we build on. And only the Word of God can allow us to understand, you know, when we are allowing God to build and when we are building for ourselves. Only God can make that distinction between those two. Okay. And right. And you find that yes, God is building, right? The beautiful thing, God is building his people, his nation, his city. The book of Revelation says that God's city will come down, God's temple, you know, God's city. Jesus says, I build my church, and the gates shall not stand against it. And what I want you all to understand is just and think about very carefully. First question, if you're looking at all the activity each day, what actually are you all doing? Then you also must ask the church, what are we building? I mean, we're looking for a new building. I mean, as preparation to it, I mean, it is something I do actually for the whole course of my ministry. So I was just coming before God, the Lord, and say, I need to be very clear what this move is all about. You know? Because the problem is not the move, you know. The problem is why the hand is moving. So hey, all of us get caught up like, is this the right thing to do or is this the wrong thing? Maybe a lot of things is the right thing. What carries that right thing is the problem, you know, the foundation is it. You know, it's not wrong to preach, it's not wrong to share, it's not wrong to sing, it's not wrong to... But everything becomes problematic because all the foundations we need is problematic. And if the foundations are problematic, then it loses thinking, it turns into something else and it becomes this. Like, and of course, personally, I've seen so much of it happen, but... made so many mistakes and been on that side and see things go wrong. Right? So the main question was that line, really God, you know, what is driving this line? You know? And why pursue that, you know, is to make sure that, you know, the building rests on the true foundations. Because one fact remains, like, you will waver, but you need God to hold this. You need God's word to hold this. And so, recognizing what God says about it is what holds us to truth, like. Because believe me, we all be tempted to go this way, that way, to steal God's glory, to claim things that, you know, we have not done and so forth. You know. Yeah. You know, and all these things like that. So we must be very clear in that in what actually God is doing. So for example, like we come to church, you know, we worship very, very clear, you know. We listen to God's word. What is that doing to us? Why do you have to travel all over the church and do that? Why the fellowship? Because God is always building a people for himself. Not individuals. And in that place of fellowship, we allow God to grow. In a place of worship, we allow God to bring our hearts together. In a place of listening to the word, you know, is collected, we give ourselves to God. And then we practice that as individuals. So that's the thing that we have to consider. It's so easy to forget all those thoughts, all that things. What actually God is building here? So when you're talking to somebody, you know, else, what actually God is building in the conversation? What's the kind of trust He's building? What's the truth He's building? You know, how He's building the work of the Spirit? You know, the care, the compassion, the kindness, the thoughtfulness, and all that. Because God is building, and I think, I mean, if you ask you all, when you all reflect now, you all will tell me stories how God did that for you. He confronted you and He built those elements into your life. You begin to see people differently, you understand your call differently, you begin to move towards people in a different way. So these things are there, and we have to be mindful. I mean, in church, we have our goals, our visions, what we need to do, and of course, we're expected from, you know, the Word of God and everything like that. But why those things are important, and why sometimes, you know, it's important to go back, because then we start to remember biblically, you know, theologically, what God is building. So, you know, He's not building a performance, He's not building a club, He's not building, you know, numbers, He's not building this, He's building a people after Himself. So when you run sound meetings, you run worship practices, you run conversations, and when there's clarity, as you know what God is doing here, and you allow God to move His the dynamic changes. Suddenly people come together for the right reasons. Over time. Suddenly people are, because we know if you build based on power and position and greatness, then you'll always be arm wrestling. Who has the greater power, who has the greater talent, who is so forth, all those kinds of things. But it starts building on God's goodness and God's truth, and God's ways and things. Suddenly the climate changes. It's amazingly, it works in the workplace, in the offices, and everything. You start changing that, the conversation changes. Then suddenly people realize, hey, yeah, it is. Because you're not sitting down there to, you know, show your, you know, how powerful you are, how great you are, you know. You're allowing God to take decisions. And I think we also have experience that. Moment when God is building, and then you go back at night, you sleep well, like what it says, you know. And after 3 years of seeing that ministry or so, nothing in vain, you know, because the beauty of God securing everything is there, like that. But when we build ourselves, then it's upside down. So I do believe God is. You know, Jesus says He's built this church, and I'm really thankful for all the things that God has done in this congregation. What is very important for me to remind myself, what actually I need to hear is the stories of transformation. So when I talk to people, you know, as the more I hear, you know, that they have met God, and then it's changing their life. Then you know who is building. It's not what people have done and we have done. It's what God is doing through all of us. And I think that also is the same with us. We see ourselves changing. You know, then the chances are God is working for us. He's in the help. He's improving. But if we just want to keep a certain way of life, a certain ideas, a certain thought, then it's just constantly the wrong things. So I do want to encourage you, God is doing amazing work through history over time, as you see in the Bible. When this year, 9 years, God has been doing amazing things. things and lives of people here, right? But I believe, like, what I do want to pray is that, you know, that we be mindful for this, this night. The last thing we want is for life change to exist in vain. The last thing we want is you know, you're all rushing and working and don't have the peace of heart. Last thing we want is all the fear and the pride, you know, operating in our lives, rather than peace and the goodness of God. One of them is just, and let's pray that we continue to grow deeper in that truth. So we, let's pray for a while and then we'll do one song of worship.